Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
From WBEZ Chicago, this is Nerdette. I am Greta Johnson, and Nerdette is a show where we talk to your favorite or soon-to-be favorite people. And this week's guest is Samin Nosrat, who I can say is seriously one of my favorite people making stuff right now. She is the author of an amazing food book called Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. I call it a food book because it's not a cookbook. It has some recipes in it, but the idea really is if you master the concepts around salt and fat and acid and heat, you can make whatever you want, which is really cool. She now has a Netflix documentary series also called Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, and it is incredible. If you haven't seen it yet, I am so excited for you to discover this show. Let's listen to just a little bit of it before we jump into the interview. This is from the first episode, Fat, and Samin is talking with a woman who runs a cheese factory in Italy.
Can you tell me a little bit about how to taste? Mm-hmm. What am I tasting for?
You have to start from the youngest aging. So you have to begin with 24.
Okay.
When you taste the first aging, you taste the milk.
Okay. It's sweet. And mi sembra dolce.
Yeah.
It's rich in flavor.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so good. It's bringing tears to my eye. It's so good. I don't know how it could get better. But let's try.
That idea of crying over really good cheese is like a level of enthusiasm and delight that just makes me so happy. So I am so excited to bring you this conversation with Samin. Samin, welcome to Nerdette.
Thank you for that really generous introduction. That's so nice. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Samin, let's start with like the most fundamental level of questioning here. What is actually the importance of salt and fat and acid and heat?
Oh, sure. Basically, these four elements are universal to all good cooking. So salt enhances flavor. It makes things taste more like themselves. Fat carries flavor. It really transports flavor throughout a dish. And it also helps us achieve all sorts of different textures, like crispy and creamy and light and tender and flaky. Acid is kind of, I think it might be my favorite. It's a source of contrast. So while salt enhances, acid balances, and it offers some other thing, some other flavor for our mouth, you know, for things to reverberate off of in our mouth. It's that squeeze of lime on top of your fried fish taco. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that thing that's missing. Mm-hmm. And heat really is just the way we cook our food. It's how we apply heat to achieve the textures we want. And it really boils down to kind of two
boils
categories.
Down.
Oh, no, I didn't even get that. But there's basically just two choices when it comes down to choosing, you know, choosing what kind of heat to use. And it's not whether it's stove or oven or grill. It's just, is it intense heat or gentle heat? Mm-hmm. And once you figure out which foods require which to get that tender texture on the inside or that crisp texture on the outside, you really can use any form of heat to achieve that. So this is true wherever you go in the world. People are cooking food in this way. And it's this kind of beautiful, simple foundation through which you can, with which I guess you should say, you could learn global cooking, you know? It's a beautiful lens to look out into the world.
It's the perfect template, and I love how lovingly you speak of food. Like, just the words you use, I can tell how much it means to you, and it's just really special.
Thank you. That's really nice.
Okay, so your new Netflix documentary, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, is about all of these principles. And we have four episodes, and each one takes place in a different part of the world. So you have fat in Italy, and salt in Japan, and acid in Mexico, and heat in California. You're trying all these different things. You're harvesting olives and seaweed. You're tasting salsa till you cry. And at the end of every episode, I think this is really special. You get together with a bunch of people and share a meal. which, like, I don't know, maybe I just don't watch that many cooking shows, but I feel like the actual, like, eating and, like, communal aspect of food is often not seen in shows about food.
Yeah, and to me, that's honestly the point of the whole thing. The most important part is coming together. It doesn't really even matter what you eat, you know? And so that was a really important for us to have that moment, was showing that this is about people and about gathering. And, you know, food is just my tool. It happens to be a really convenient tool to tell stories and to bring people together. But really, like, my evil plan is to just create more community wherever I go. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's listen to, I pulled just a little clip from the last episode. Let's listen to it.
For me, cooking has never been about the food. It's about what happens at the table. Making good food accessible is really important to me. And any little way that I can do that, from inviting a bunch of friends over for a simple meal to making them help out in the kitchen when they arrive, just helps make it feel like good cooking is within reach for everyone. My ultimate goal is to make people feel comfortable and taken care of so that they can just enjoy the moment and maybe eventually pass that kindness on to others. Cooking for them, with them, just happens to be the easiest way I can do that.
Samin, I have to tell you, there were just like so many moments watching the show where it was like, okay, I guess I'm just going to cry now.
I'm crying right now.
It's just really beautiful. And you say
I'm sitting here crying.
I held it together, but I'm with you in spirit. So right after this clip, you also say something really beautiful about how your mission is to empower people to use salt and fat and acid and heat to make delicious things, and how even if they mess them up, that's okay because there's always tomorrow, which also is just a really beautiful notion, right? And it just got me thinking, like, I feel like that's a life skill, right? In addition to like a kitchen skill.
I think it's one of the most important things I have taken away from being a professional cook is, first of all, that you do have to put in so much practice, and practice is what leads, you know, you to proficiency and mastering a skill, but also that everything doesn't always turn out great. You know, even in the highest kitchens, everyone's not nailing it every night, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there is a kind of a beauty in the fact that, like, you, whether or not you make whatever you make on a particular day, maybe it's the greatest thing and maybe it's the worst possible thing. No matter what, you have to start again tomorrow. You know, mm-hmm. There's kind of this beautiful impermanence in cooking that I think it's very freeing, especially for me because I'm also a writer. And writing is so different because it takes so long and it's so painful and belabored, you know, and you never have anything that's done completely from start to finish in a day. And so there is this way where it's easy to let go of the result in cooking, no, because you know that you get to try again the next day. And I think it's nice to have that from the point of view of someone who is proficient and feels like I've mastered some aspects of cooking. But also as a teacher, it's really important for me to remind people that it's okay if you mess up because you can still try again tomorrow. And it's okay if you mess up and you have to throw it away and order Chinese food, you know? And like, right, like I'm a perfectionist and I'm constantly have to remind myself to battle my perfectionist tendencies. Yet it's so much easier for me to extend that kindness to other people and make them feel like it's okay. It's really okay. Whatever you come up with, it's okay.
Yeah, I think it just, yeah, it feels so much like that whole idea of forgiving yourself, which can just feel so impossible in the moment, whatever it is, right? But it's like the most important thing you can do.
It really
for yourself.
Is. It really is, I think, especially in this world where, you know, we are being pelted 24/7 by like perfectly curated digital images of culinary perfection. And It can feel overwhelming or out of reach. And even just in the like time of my cooking career in the past, 18 years, things have shifted so intensely toward this idea that to be a cook, to be a great home cook, you have to be someone who throws a dinner party with three courses or who makes dinner and has like, two vegetables and a meat. And, sometimes it's okay. Like dinner can just be an egg on toast. There are very few meals that I remember where the food is the thing that I remember. Mm-hmm. Most meals that I remember who I was with and what we talked about and what I feel like, what I felt like in the moment. Yeah. And so I think food is the great reason to come together, but it's not the like point of coming together, mm-hmm.
Totally. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of when I was visiting some friends in North Carolina last year and we decided to make this like 3-layer cake from Allison Roman's cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
And we totally f***ed it up and it just like fell, like they all fell apart out of the pan. There was no way we were going to layer them. And so we ended up just eating like cake scraps out of a bag
out
all
of the
weekend.
Pan. Yeah.
And it was like the most, and it was a reused Ziploc bag. So it said like turkey burritos on it or something. It was these cake scraps and it was just like the most delightful experience.
To me, there's so many things like that in my life where the joke or of the failure has lived on for so much longer than any success ever could have. And that's like this way that our relationship has built. Like I remember, this was a long time ago, probably 10 years ago. I have a, many of my friends really enjoy Funfetti cake mix. I enjoy it too. And so I thought that I would elevate a Funfetti cake mix by making it with, buying the cake mix and then making it with just egg whites to keep the cake really pure white that I whipped up to make it like more meringue. I was like putting in my chef skills.
Yeah, you were doing it.
But what that did was it completely made the cake too crumbly and too tender. And so the cake, my friends are like, you ruined a Funfetti, and still it's this joke where like I ruined a Funfetti. It's worth a lot.
That's amazing. Samin Nosrat, ruining desserts since 1980. After the break, Samin talks about a practice she has called a manifestation journal and talks about why you should do it too.
I do think taking a little bit of time a couple times a year to articulate your goals and your dreams and your desires is helpful because it helps sort of orient you toward them.
You're listening to Nerdette.
Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max. And listen to the Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
The other thing I really love about this show is how much you're celebrating the home cook as opposed to like gourmet chefs. You know, I mean, the fact that you've traveled to all of these different places and it just seems like you spoke to so many keepers of traditions, you know, like I'm thinking about the doña in Mexico who makes, 200 tortillas a day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were so many really cool, just, like, old ladies who were just doing the thing that they were really good at because they'd been doing it forever that was just so, I don't know, it was just gorgeous and inspiring, you know?
Yeah, I mean, when I started cooking, I remember the chefs told me, they said, you won't know anything until you've been doing this for 10 years. That's the point at which it lives in your body. You know, and this was before Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000
right,
Hours.
Right, I was going to say,
and
yeah.
So, but it's the same thing. And so, and it really is true. Right around 10 years, I started to tell that I could do things without like thinking about it so hard. It really started to come naturally to me. So if you think about that 10 years thing or that 10,000 hours thing, the people who have been cooking for their families their entire lives, can you imagine how skilled these grandmothers are at these tasks that they're doing every single day, you know, for hours a day? And who better to demonstrate and to teach us than these women? And it was really important to me to honor these grandmothers because I have always aspired to grandma cooking, you know? And and in a lot
grandma
of ways.
Grandma living.
Yeah, grandma living. I mean, like, I am a granny inside for sure. So
me too.
Yeah. So it was really, really important for me to show these people as the masters that they really are.
So you have this habit and I am fascinated by it. And I want to like actually have you back on the show to just talk about it at great length for like our New Year's resolutions episode or something. But your manifestation journal, I am so fascinated by.
Oh, yeah. You should get one.
Yes, I feel like I need to. So this is something you started, what, like almost exactly 10 years ago, right?
I think just about 10 years ago. And I can't remember what prompted me to start it. I do remember the friend I was with, and it was probably a January-ish thing. Mm-hmm. And we went to an art supply store in downtown Berkeley, and I just bought, you know, a sketch, one of those sketchbooks with like the faux leather.
Oh yeah, like, very
you know,
nice.
Cover.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it was on sale, so that's probably why I bought it.
Super fancy.
And then I came home and I wrote manifestation journal, and I just started writing down the things that I saw and wanted for myself. And some of them were really big and complicated and seemed probably completely impossible and specific, and some of the things were really little. And you know, just silly.
Yeah, you have things like get a book published, and I think you even, I think my favorite is, well, I don't know, I have so many, I love them all. Like you wrote in really tiny print, you wrote MacArthur Genius, right?
Totally. Yeah. That's and then, at the bottom of the first page. But then also like getting my chin hairs under control.
The chin hairs. I love the chin hairs. I think my favorite though was when you mentioned a bay leaf pinata.
Oh, yeah, that was a really good one. And we did it. We did the bay leaf pinata.
And so that's a pinata made out of bay leaves on the outside. But when I first heard you say bay leaf pinata, I thought you meant a pinata stuffed with bay
filled
leaves.
Filled with bay leaves.
And I was like, that
would be awesome too.
Terrible.
It's because my friend has a bay tree, like this massive bay
cool.
tree. And I was, and I love the smell of fresh bay leaves. And I thought, wow, how cool would it be to have a thing where when you hit it, that smell is released, you know, how amazing. And
did
we
it
did it. And my friend, it was really funny because it was homemade. So it was this paper mache pig shaped pinata. And my friend was, I think, my friend who made the paper mache was too, she was being very cautious. So she just kept putting on layers of newspaper. So the thing was like almost indestructible.
So you really had to smash it to pieces.
Yeah. And we did it in a meadow. It was pretty dreamy. It was my 30th birthday party. Yeah,
that
it was pretty fun.
Pretty amazing.
It was pretty fun, yeah.
I don't know. I think there are so many things I love about the idea of a manifestation journal, but I think the one that really gets me is just the idea, like the sheer audacity of asking for what you want.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, I realized about myself some time ago that I'm a pretty fearless and resilient person when it comes to my work and to the like what I make and put in the world. And I'm a pretty I'm the opposite in my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have this incredible capacity to kind of ask for anything and deal with rejection and be fearless when I'm like seeking work things or achievements. And that is kind of what has fueled the manifestation journal. But also I lately I think I have been like, maybe I need to, you know, apply some of that to my own personal desires and personal goals. So a lot of people are like, you can make anything happen, you know, like why you, if you only spent the same sort of like intentional energy on your own personal things, then those things would come true too. And so I think I've just been afraid to ask. So that's one thing that I look forward to sort of spending a little bit more time and energy doing is trying to figure out what would make me like happiest in my heart, you know, and in my life rather than just my achievements. Because I do feel like I'm an achievement machine and I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah,
but
you are.
It's not necessarily what makes, you know, sometimes you're like, okay, cool, check, next. Like I find a lot of value in making sure I'm surrounded by like wonderful people. And that's a thing I would like to really keep investing in. So.
So we do a thing on Nerdette where we'll ask our guests to give our listeners homework.
Oh.
And I think this is perfect. I think we should ask listeners to start a manifestation journal.
And it doesn't have to be a fancy notebook. It can be anything. But it doesn't have to be something you spend a ton of time on. I do think taking a little bit of time a couple times a year to articulate your goals and your dreams and your desires is helpful because it helps sort of orient you toward them. And even if they change or they don't come true, that's fine. You know, it's just nice to have a record. There's a lot of joy and pleasure in going back and seeing, you know, how you've grown and what you've done and maybe even how you've changed.
Samin, thank you so much. This was really fun. I am so excited we got to do this.
Oh, thank you so much, Greta. It was really nice chatting with you.
I'm just going to add on some extra homework here, too. I think you should ruin a cake. Like, try to make something that's maybe a little more ambitious than normal and, like, actually f*** it up and be totally okay with that because it's probably still going to be delicious. And even if it's not, there's always tomorrow. The show is produced by myself, Greta Johnson, along with Justin Bull. Our co-creator is Trisha Bobita, and our executive producer is Brendan Banaszak. Our intern is Sophie Lalonde. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, follow us on NPR One, or listen in the WBEZ app. It is also super helpful if you leave us some stars on Apple Podcasts. A great many thanks to M. Stormdancer for the review. It is very kind of you to say that we don't ramble on too long. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We are at Nerdette Podcast. We have a newsletter. You're probably going to like it. I think this week I'm going to put in a link to this amazing video of this girl getting her head stuck in a pumpkin, which is one of the most delightful things I have seen in quite some time.
Your job. Stick your head back in.
My head is in the pumpkin.
Try tilting it down.
My head is literally in the pumpkin.
You can get that by signing up for our newsletter at wbez.org/nerdsletter. Our theme music is by Poddington Bear. Do your homework. Like, do it. This time it's really good. I mean, it's always good, but this one is really good and, like, important.
My pet peeve is that a lot of people call their shoe size 11, and it's really not a size 11. You know what I mean? Like...
Oh, yes. As someone who also wears size 11, I very much understand what you are saying.
Nerdette is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. Join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic HBO original limited series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max. And listen to the Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.